You're listening to Queerbait, a queer podcast about queer people of color. And I'm your host, Charlie. Hello and welcome to Queerbait. I'm so excited. We have a very special guest with us this week, Daniel Sanchez Lopez, who is the director of a film that's coming out here soon called Boy Meets Boy that will be premiering at the Pride Arts Summer Film Festival here in that's running now, but the film itself will premiere in August. So welcome, Daniel.
Hello, thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me for screening the movie in Washington. It's an honor for me to be in the city.
This is so weird because I am in Atlanta. Pride Arts is in Chicago. And Daniel, you're in, where are you now?
I'm in Berlin.
Okay. So we're all over the place right now. This is an international experience and event for you all. So Daniel, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, where are you from? How did you get into directing? What's going on here?
Well, I'm from Spain, from La Mancha. So I'm sorry if my English is a bit clunky, but it's not my mother tongue language. But I was born in La Mancha in Spain, and then I don't know. I always loved movies, and then I studied in Madrid at cinema, and then really soon I moved to London, and then I never came back to Spain. Like, it's 10 years that I'm all about the place, you know. Like, I've been in England and in Denmark, where I also studied there in a famous school, and now in Germany, where I live in Berlin, where I founded my production company with three other friends. And this movie, Boy Meets Boy, is basically the first movie for everybody, for the company, for my friends, for me, for the actors. Everybody involved in the film has their debut. And yeah, this was a challenging experience for sure.
Excellent. I hope everyone gets a chance to see it, because it's a really lovely film. It's a really lovely film, and I really enjoyed watching it. And there's so much to talk about in this film, and there is so much discussion in this film. And I think it's one of those, it's very, very timely. So before we get into talking about the film, we do like to play a little game on our show. It's super easy. It's just a word association game. And most of this was taken from your film. So I wanted to get your sort of personal thoughts on some of these ideas and topics. And the game is called Gets You Off, Turns You Off. So it's just I'll say a word and you just tell us if it gets you off, if it excites you, or if it turns you off, if you're not so much into it. And if you want to explain why, you can. And all of these things are sort of taken from the film.
Okay.
So it's a boy meets boy version of the game. So gets you off, turns you off, cheese.
On.
Turns you on? Okay.
And I'm European. It's like, how it's going to turn me off.
Well, and then a follow-up question to that is, what type of cheese are you?
I think I'm, because I'm from La Mancha, I'm Manchego cheese. You know, like, it tastes good. It's like, it's always like easygoing. It works everywhere, for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, you know? Like, I like that one.
It's an all-purpose cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. Gets you off, turns you off, bicycles.
I turns me on a lot.
Yeah.
More in summer, you can imagine like these shorts, pants in men, like men in short pants wearing biking, riding their bikes. It's really done on.
And you can tell that scene, you can really tell. It was very well shot.
Thank you.
Gets you off, turns you off, watermelon.
Hi, watermelon. I think it turned me on because it's so watery, you know? Like, I guess everything is going to turn me on.
That's okay. Gets you off, turns you off, Grindr.
It's an on and off.
Okay.
On and off.
depending on the day.
Depending on the day. Depending on the moment, depending in which moment in my life I am as well. Right now I might not turn off somehow. Like, I don't know, like I guess it makes me sad lately, you know? Like,
why does it make you sad? What does Grindr make you sad?
It makes me sad because I always think maybe because it's not really fitting my personality or no, like I doesn't get what I want, you know? Like, I think in Grindr you can get you can get sex and you can get satisfaction and I'm happy for it. And the people who work with that, I'm like, I'm jealous of these people. I would love to be so mundane, like so rational, no? Like I wanna have sex, I go home, bye. But I don't know what is the word, if I'm too intense or I'm too romantic or I'm too emotional, but for me, I don't know, sex is really, it's a big effort, no? It's like, it's really drain a lot of energy from me. Like, it's like suck a lot of energy from me. So right. you're not going to have intimacy or like a special or a spiritual or something meaningful, more meaningful than just the act of having sex.
Right.
It makes me sad. So I prefer to have sex, casual sex in another places, you know, like not with a phone.
Right.
Well, then,
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that, that it can't be just a place for, it's just such a hookup site and it's a Mr. Right now and not a Mr. Right sort of situation. And that can be incredibly draining and dissatisfying for a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
But more than the app in itself, that you can like it or not, what it turns me off is that really often I see myself inside my group of friends, like the only one who doesn't follow Grindr, and makes me feel a bit, like out of my community of friends or my community, LGBTQ community. It makes me feel like outsider, you know? What exactly made me feel to be gay sometimes in the straight community, you know?
Really?
So it's a double outsider.
Oh, that's an interesting, but so not being on Grindr makes you feel sort of like an outcast because you're not in the same place where everyone else is. I'm not on Grindr either. And I don't really miss it so much, actually, but it's definitely, I can understand it because it is something that everyone uses. And sometimes for some people, it seems to work as another form of social media, but I have never found that to be my experience. That has never been.
maybe it didn't work. Maybe I forced it and tried it too much in the past. And now, you know, like, yeah. I empower how I am, and it's like it's okay. to just say no to things that doesn't make you happy, you know, like I right. just realized that this doesn't make me happy. Although I tried really hard, obviously. Obviously, I had Grindr for a lot of years, and probably I will have Grindr tomorrow. You know,
maybe we'll get on tomorrow and see. Okay. So how about get you off, turns you off Mormons?
Mormons did turn me on. Like I always like these white trash American evangelical religious man. But at the same time, it turns me really off. But that's why it turns me on. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I really want to fuck them.
There's this dichotomy.
Of course. You want to turn me on, but at the same time, off. But there is something that turns me on as well. Yeah.
You know, there's always, to me, there's always something incredibly, queer and very gay about Mormons. Just in the fact of like this idea that you're going to take these two very young men, and they're usually very good looking men, like two very good looking men, and pair them together and send them off to the world to like buddy buddy around, you know, around the globe to like preach this mission. I mean, it's the queerest thing I think I've of the religions that I think I've seen. Like, it's so gay sending these two men out together to like. I just imagine them as this gay couple just like wandering around preaching religion in some weird way.
It's absolutely gay, you know? They're like in couples, always the same sex couples.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Well dressed.
I don't know. Maybe it's a fetish. Maybe I have a Mormon fetish. you know that in the scene of the Mormons in the movie, when we were shooting with the Mormons, that they are actors, obviously, two real Mormons from the States came in the middle of the scene and they went to talk with them like, oh my God, you are some Mormons like us? From where are you from? And I was like, I think this is a theme. There are no Mormons. And they were like, they were really interested about how I was portraying Mormons in the film. Mm-hmm. So we had a lovely conversation together, but it was super weird, no? That there were two Mormons in the same spot where we were doing
where you were filming. That's so crazy. Yeah. I think it was handled really well, though. I think that conversation, you know, was handled respectfully of all sides of the conversation. So I think and we can get more into that later. So I've got one more for you.
Please.
Gets you off, turns you off, open relationships.
Turns me off because I tried. And again, it's like Grindr. I tried. It didn't work. So far, it turns me off.
Okay. Fair enough. Excellent.
Because I tried, and it didn't work out.
Right. Well,
but maybe it's just, again, it's just a thing of personality, of... Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you cannot fight against who you are neither, you know, like
right.
Although I'm a gay man in Germany, I'm also have my Hispanic background and my Catholic education and my hidden dreams of become a father and have kids, you know, with a monogamy relationship. So this is difficult to delete from one day to the other one. It's really difficult to unlearn these values, I think.
Right. Absolutely. I totally get that. So Daniel, why this movie now? What was this movie, you know, why did you create this movie and why did you do it now?
Why now? Well, the movie was done exactly the summer right before the COVID. So that's why nobody wears masks and nothing, like everything since 2019, because it's 2019. And back then I needed to make this film because I have a diary about my feelings, my thoughts in regarding dating and intimacy and love. but it was difficult. I don't know, like I thought that I didn't see really, I haven't seen really often two men in a movie talking about that openly. And really often I see in the films how the main conflict or the reason of the film are always the gay trauma, kind of like the coming out or like AIDS. And I mean, these films are really, really important. But I also think that there are another stories, another experiences, no, that they were not told. And I thought that maybe telling how I was feeling regarding loneliness, regarding mental health, or regarding sex, you know, I will be able to also to, I don't know, like to make, to connect with people, you know, that were thinking, fuck, I feel the same way that this person, or this is me, you know, like to kind of create a new real queer characters, you know? And I was really looking forward to see this kind of new gay people, you know? And I saw it, I mean, I seen it in other movies, I'm like in Weekend, or like Looking, the TV show, or like I love also Cicada, like there's another movies that also tell it. But yeah, like I thought that why not tell my own experience, no? Because everything is made in my own life, basically.
Well, you know, and it's really, what was interesting to me was the conversations that were being had in the film, and that these were conversations that I feel like as gay people, we have with each other. Like we have these conversations with our friends, but they are not necessarily a part of like the global conversation that's being had about what it means to be gay or to be, you know, LGBTQIA plus, you know, anywhere in the world. It was nice to see some like similarities in these conversations, like, oh yes, like the conversations that were had. I was like, I've had this conversation, the conversation about Grindr. I was like, yes, I've had this about wanting children. Like those are conversations that, you know, I think that everyone's having with each other, but it's not necessarily part of the quote unquote queer platform that we're always pushing, because it's always coming out and HIV and those sort of big things, but there's so much more conversation to have.
Yeah, and that was my intention, you know. I want to have a dialogue like I had with my friends or with the lovers I had, you know, like, yeah, kind of like say this is how gay people talk, you know, like that was everything.
This episode is brought to you by Pride Arts. With LGBTQ plus issues still so complex in this country and worldwide, Pride Arts aspires to change lives by presenting high quality theater, film, and online content for this generation and those to come. Don't miss the Pride Arts Summer Film Festival, streaming international queer films July 18th through August 18th. For more information, visit pridearts.org/tickets. I want to talk about some of these things without, you know, spoiling the movie too much, because I just think it was such a wonderfully shot film. I think it's such a beautiful film, and there's a you know, some of the words that sort of sprung to mind for me were like serenity, inspired, sophisticated, and I think it's a great date night movie. I think it's one of those movies that you could sit down on the couch or lay in bed with your partner or someone you're like newly dating and just kind of watch and, you know, use that as a jumping off point for conversations in your own relationship to talk about, because maybe these are things that you haven't explored and thought to talk about. One of the things that I wanted to to ask specifically, what was there an intentionality in making the couple in the film interracial? Was that intentional, or was that just we just found the two best actors that for this part?
That was always thought, like that was always, we had always on mind that it will be way more interesting in the two characters were not white, no? Because the same that we only watch movies about coming out of the closet or AIDS, we also see how the gay love stories are always between two white men, no? Like always two white men falling in love, blah, blah, blah. So it was really important for the screenwriter and me that one of the characters was non-white. Okay. But it's true that at one point we really needed to choose the best actors, you know? Like we went for the best actors. And that's why Harry, that is Matthew, John, the actor, Matthew Morrison, when he pop up, he's there not because he's black, he's there because he's an amazing actor, you know, and he was the best with his partner. And in a way, you know, it's these things that happens that you have it in mind, like, please, I don't want two white actors. And then all of a sudden, the best actor is not white, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was lucky, you know, like it came organically. But it's true that was also thought from the beginning. And it's also that this also came from me as a worry all the time, because in the movie, where people will that didn't see the movie will see, you know, they talk about everything. They talk about politics, they talk about identity, they talk about religion, they talk about everything, but they never talk really deeply about the identity of being a black man or a black gay man. And I was like, I didn't know how to write these things, because the co-writer and me are two white European people. And I have a talk with Matthew 1 month before the shooting, and I say, if you want to talk about your experience, if you want to talk about that, I'm happy to put it in the film, you know, like I want you to feel comfortable, and if this is realistic, let's write this together, but let's write it from your experience, no?
Right.
And like, Daniel, I think the script is really beautiful and I feel really identified, even though I don't talk about being a black man. And then it worked, you know, like it was something that we decided together, you know, like we are not going to talk about that because it's there anyway, you know, it's there.
Right.
And it's there in a really special moment as well, really big. But sometimes the silence is more loud than the words.
Right, sure. And this was filmed in 2019. So before the pandemic, before sort of the whole Black Lives Matter sort of wave came across. But I do enjoy the fact that it's, you know, in a lot of ways, part of me missed the conversation, but also part of me didn't. And I think it was kind of nice to just enjoy two people being together as people, you know, and there's a very sort of, it's a very slow and sensual build, I think, throughout the film, and just seeing the two of the, like I said, the bike ride, I think, was probably one of my favorite scenes, like that, just how everything about that, it was definitely like, gets me off, right? It was just done in such a beautiful way that it was sensual and sexual and without a lick of gratuity. Like it was, there was something about that scene that was just so well done. So many scenes in this film were so well done.
Thank you.
Daniel, where do you find happiness?
Lately, it's really sad, but I find happiness working.
Okay. That's not sad. That's a good place to start.
It's a bit capitalistic. I don't know. I find, because I feel like maybe I feel happiness by expressing myself, by being less lonely, you know, like being able to communicate and to be less alone. The same way I feel also happiness watching movies and for other people, no? And like, or reading with fiction, no? Like I feel happiness with in the act of communication with another human being. Mm-hmm. And also happiness eating good food, drinking, sometimes too much. but the most really being able to be understood and be accepted and be loved. This is how I feel happiness.
Okay. So have you ever been in love?
I did.
Okay.
Of course I did. And it's amazing, you know, like it's the best. I don't know if it's the best, but at least it's something not rational, no? And this is also amazing that we can also have things that we cannot control. It made me crazy.
So some of the conflict that comes in the movie is, you know, is about love and relationships, and which again, I think it's one of those conversations that I think as gay, particularly as gay men, that we all sort of deal with this. I don't know how many, you know, that the relationships are quote unquote complicated, you know, these complicated relationships, these open relationships, these, you know, what, you know, are these okay? Now you've said that you've been in one and tried it and it was not satisfying to you. Do you think they work? Do you think there is a possibility or a situation in which open relationships can work?
I do think it can work, of course. And I think it works for a lot of people. And I'm happy that it works, you know, that there's another way of love and another dynamic of relationship. And I think they work, but I don't think it works for everybody, you know. And I think as well, I believe that I'm not the only gay man who has been accepted this kind of the relationship of open relationship or like don't be attached to another person.
Right.
In a way has been thinking, I would really love to be with this person, or I would really don't like to be in an open relationship, but I need to be in this kind of relationship in order to be with this person. Mm-hmm. No, like, but at the same time, I believe a lot that there's a lot of people who naturally and organically aspire and it's to this, you know, like it's how is, I don't know, like it's how they are happy, you know, and in a way, this is beautiful as well. I think it's another level of trust, of intimacy, mm-hmm. of, you know, like,
yeah.
But this is like science, because it didn't happen to me, you know,
right?
Then I can't, like, because it didn't happen to me, then for me, it doesn't work. So right. until that doesn't work for me, so then I will believe in it. But my own experience didn't work, but I believe that works
for some people. And there is a lot of trust and communication. I think that probably has to happen in those situations in order for it to work. But
I just find that like messy in a way that yeah, I mean, there's so many ways of loving, no? Like finding a partner. But I find the message as well in the time of sharing time. Like I believe more in open relationship where a poly love, like a lot of people together, you know, like sharing the same life, mm-hmm. that open relationship or like, if I would have to choose, I would prefer to have three boyfriends in the same bed every night than have a boyfriend who Mondays and Wednesdays and Sundays is with someone, on Tuesdays and Thursdays are with me, you know? Mm-hmm. But that is a preference, you know, like I don't know, a personal preference.
So there, yeah. So there, I mean, there.
How about
which
you?
Is interesting. It's interesting that that conversation and the Mormons being in the film too. That sort of that ideal of, you know, polyamory and multi and sister wives and multiple partners, and you know that sort of ideal versus, you know, monogamy and just or sort of this open relationship sort of situation. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do relationships, and there is no one way. But I love that the film has the conversation about it and talks about it in a very respectful and a very smart way too, you know, talking about why the relationships form the way that they do. It's a great film everyone should see. And speaking of that, so why, how did you get involved with the Pride Arts Summer Film Festival? How did that come about?
With whom?
With the Pride Arts Summer Film Festival. How did that?
Yeah. Yes. So, well, the movie has been running in some queer film festivals in the US.
Okay.
And the Washington Pride Fest Festival is one of them. Like, we have a distribution company in the States that I don't know if you call it. You know it. It's called Aristical. And they represent the film, you know, like they have brought the movie to Wicked Boston and to Frameline and to outside Miami and also in Canada. And also, I forgot one. This one at New Fest in New York and in Texas as well, in Austin. And if I'm forgetting a festival, I'm so sorry, but Provincetown as well. So it has been, in the last 3 months, has been in a lot of film festivals in the US.
Okay, so it's kind of all over the place. So it's making the rounds.
Only film festivals. So it didn't, it's not in a platform yet or and neither in cinemas or DVD, you know, like even in Germany, that is the country of the production, it was not released yet, you know.
Okay.
But in the States, yes.
So what is queer culture like in Germany? What is...
Wow, that's it's a thing in itself. So I think that Germany, from all the places I've been, Berlin is the queerest place I have never been in my life.
Oh, really?
And I, the first time, the first place I have felt I have a privilege, and not only because I'm a white man, mm-hmm. also because I'm a gay man. Like, being gay is a privilege here. So I think this says a lot about the gay culture in Berlin, you know, like everything is like more like gay friendly. It's like it's made by and made for the gay community. And when I say the gay community, I don't say only gay men, you know, I talk about the lesbians and trans and non-binary and everyone. But so in that sense, Berlin seems like, I don't know, like a queer utopy, but obviously there are challenges, you know, it's not the panacea, it's not like a completely utopy, you know, like there is a lot of to fight for. Berlin, for example, is also still being a really white place,
right.
Where statistically, Germany has not, like Berlin is not so diverse in that, for example. You can find a lot of gender fluid people and trans openly out of the closet and gay and lesbians in the streets, but it's true that it's quite white, you know?
Okay.
And apart from that, also a big thing in Berlin is the club scene, no? Like everything is, the club is the meeting point for the queer community, I will say. There's another, other spaces, no? Like cultural events like art or poetry or like exhibitions. But it's true that club is really, really important, you know, like the clubbing spaces are this every day, like from Thursday to Monday, you will have a party that is open to everyone, like where everybody can feel free, and with queer DJs, queer workers, and queer dancers, you know, and this is beautiful, you know, because you feel really safe in that sense.
Oh, that's good. But you're saying there's not much, there's queer spaces, but those spaces are not filled with a lot of diversity, you're saying, though, in terms of...
I would say that there's diversity in LGBTQI+. Right. Okay. But I will say that there's no diversity, like when I went to the States and I have been in New York, and I'm like, wow, what is this? Like, what is like the Latino community, the Afro-American community, like the Caribbean community, like the Asian, you know, like.
Right, where there's just.
This is like, that's no in Berlin, you know, no, or right. Even like in London, or like even in Paris, you know, like the background diversity in Berlin is like Germany, European,
right.
A lot of Turkish, but it's no as broad that in the States, for sure.
Okay.
Is that normal? Three of them flying together and in a facial. I need to go on a diet. I need new shoes.
What is it that you need?
That I need?
Yes. What do you need?
Oh, wow. I'm really needy.
You're needy?
I'm really needy. And I will need to need less, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, I will need to be less jealous. I will need to be less anxious. I will need... you know, like to be more in peace and to less worry about everything. This is what I will need, to be honest, to reach a highest level of inner peace.
Okay. I love that answer, though. It's such an interesting, everyone's response to that question has been so. Has been so different, but also there's just been sort of this, I don't know, I really like that answer, the need of less, like I need less of these, of these negative emotions in my life, need less anxiety and worry. Yeah, I think we could all use a little bit less of that. That is
right.
It's a lot. And I think one of the great ways to do that is to go to Pride Arts Film Festival, Summer Film Festival, and spend some time and watch some movies and just relax and escape from the world around you and just watch some movies. In particular, go see Boy Meets Boy at the film festival, because it is amazing. And so the film festival runs July 18th through August 18th. And for more information, you can visit pridearts.org/tickets and get tickets to the film festival. They have a ton of films playing. They have, it's broken up into four sections and four divisions of short films, which you'll be able to watch and see all of those things. And then the festival's feature film is Boy Meets Boy. And that is premiering, I believe, in August. It's running through August, I believe, is what is on there. And we'll have more information on, you know, in the show notes, and we'll link over to Pride Arts so that you all can get that information, and you can link up and see what's going on over there. Daniel, thank you so much for coming out and doing this. I realize that it's, you know, it's The sun has set over where you are. Time difference is huge.
No worries. I'm a night person. I'm a night person. Thank you so much, Charles, for this beautiful time. And I was not expecting such a to-the-point question, but well, thank you for letting me reflect about all these things. I was not ready, but I enjoy it a lot, really. Thank you so much.
No, no problem. Thank you so much for being open and honest with us and sharing everything. And we'll definitely be pushing for folks to see the film.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us this week on Queerbait, and thank you to our guest, Daniel Sanchez Lopez. And go ahead and check out Pride Arts Summer Film Festival. It's running through August 18th. It's really fun. There's some really fun, quirky films from all over the world. You'll want to check that out. Again, running through the 18th. Tickets are still available. It's been running for a few weeks, so some of them are not quite available for you to see, but I think there's two more weeks and two more selections in place. So plenty of movies to check out there. So go ahead and check out Pride Arts and get your tickets. And we are going to be taking a couple weeks off here so that we can gear up for our finale here. We're going to do a season finale here. So it's going to take us a couple weeks, and we've got some surprises for that. So tune in for all of that. In the meantime, while we're gone, check out some of our past episodes. Catch up on what you haven't heard. There's a lot out there. So check it out. Let us know what you think. You can always leave us a message, or you can leave us a message on our page. We usually post the episodes on C2C Live, and you can on Facebook, so you can always leave a message there. Anyway, thank you guys so much. You're all amazing and all wonderful, and thank you all for the support and the love. And if you like what you hear, please let me know. And if you don't, keep it to yourself. Actually, if you don't like what I hear, I'd like to hear that too. So thank you all. You're wonderful, amazing people. And until next time, bye.